You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, January 4th, 2018, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Or perhaps it is D-Day. That is, maybe we should call it R-Day, Rescind Day. If you've been following any of my Twitter feed or the cannabis news feeds in general, you know that Attorney General Jeff Sessions has begun the war on marijuana. He has rescinded the Cole memo, the Obama-era guidance that protected the newly emerging cannabis markets. We're going to talk a whole lot about that on today's show. Before we get to that, let me first apologize for missing yesterday's show. We had some kind of bug here at Delta 9 House and Studios, and I was sick as a dog. I mean, like, anytime I tried to be vertical, my stomach was having none of it, and I don't think it would have made a very good show, but we got a full show for you today, like I mentioned. And speaking of Delta 9 House and Studios, if you're looking for a 420 friendly place to hang out in Portland, Oregon, please check us out at delta9house.com. And for those of you listening to the podcast, please check out our Patreon page. We're trying to build more subscriber base, more donor base to this show so we can continue keeping this free for all the folks out there to get the podcast segment. So if you have the ability to donate even as little as $4.20 a month, please log on to mjagenda.com and become a patron today. Now, coming up on today's show, in What About the News, we'll have some reflection from not just lawmakers, but GOP lawmakers, Republicans who are upset about this Attorney General Sessions rescinding the Cole memo. Also coming up on the show today, we have an interview I recorded on Tuesday with Morgan Fox, the communications director from the Marijuana Policy Project. We're going to take a look in the crystal ball and see where we may be celebrating in 2018 victories for adult use legalization, medical marijuana, and decriminalization. There's some surprising states in there that you'll have to listen up for that could be passing marijuana reforms in 2018. And then in the radical rant, we're going to take a 10,000-foot view of this rescinding of the Cole memo and explain once again that elections have consequences. If you are a cannabis-minded voter, if you want to see the biggest boom continue in our economy that we've ever seen, you need to get smart about how you're voting. We'll talk about that. But first, the news.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, January 4th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has rescinded the Obama-era guidance that has generally allowed states to implement their own marijuana laws without federal interference. Under the so-called Cole memo, named after former Obama Justice Department Deputy Attorney General who authored it in 2013, the federal government set out certain criteria that, if followed, would allow states to implement their own laws mostly without intervention. Those areas concern issues like youth use, impaired driving, and interstate trafficking. Also rescinded were the Wilkinson memo, which set policy regarding Native American tribes and marijuana commerce, and the Ogden memo, which set policy for Justice Department review of medical marijuana cases. In rescinding the memos, Sessions wrote, quote, "In deciding which marijuana activities to prosecute under these laws with the department's finite resources, prosecutors should follow the well-established principles that govern all federal prosecutions," end quote, referring to guidelines in place since the 1980s. The state of Vermont is one step closer to legalizing adult use of marijuana and cultivation of cannabis by removing language concerning a study commission the governor has already created by executive order. Under the proposal, adults 21 and older could possess an ounce of marijuana and cultivate 2 mature and 4 immature cannabis plants total in their home, not per adult, out of public view. The proposal does not allow for a commercial marijuana market, a move the governor has compared to, quote, tobacco 2.0, end quote, and has required to gain his pending signature. The House is expected to approve the legislation today, setting up a final Senate vote on the amended language next week. Three of the defendants in Washington State's Kettle Falls 5 case had their convictions wiped out today by a federal judge. The Spokesman Review reports that Rhonda Lee Firestack Harvey, Michelle Lynn Gregg, and Roland Mark Gregg had convictions vacated and charges dismissed by U.S. District Judge Thomas Rice. Federal prosecutors had asked for the dismissal because, quote, a cloud of Congress suspension of funding authority, end quote, continues with their appeal, referring to the Rohrabacher Amendment that continues to prevent DOJ spending to prosecute state legal medical marijuana cases. That amendment is part of continuing temporary appropriations funding that expires on January 19th. Of the two other defendants, Larry Harvey died of cancer before the trial, and Jason Zucker accepted a plea bargain to be a witness for the prosecution. New York Governor Andrew M. Cuomo today announced new proposals to reform criminal justice, including eliminating monetary bail for people facing misdemeanor and nonviolent felony charges, banning all asset seizures unless an arrest is made, and ending the mandatory suspension of driver's licenses following a drug conviction to allow people to travel to work and attend drug treatment as long as the crimes did not involve driving. In the time since Governor Cuomo took office, New York State has closed 24 prisons and juvenile detention centers, more than in any other period under one governor in state history. The prison population has also decreased by more than 6,000 within that time. Cuomo also announced in his State of the State address that reforms may include consideration of new regulations to include subacute pain as a qualifying condition for medical marijuana. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf announced in a radio interview with WESA that his state will not attempt to confiscate firearms from the more than 10,000 Pennsylvanians who have registered for medical marijuana cards. Quote, "People should not have to make that choice," said Wolf, who acknowledged the gun sale regulations are, quote, "a federal thing," end quote. According to the governor, the Pennsylvania State Police do not advise that if people receive medical marijuana, they get rid of their guns. Quote, "The federal government needs to do the right thing here," end quote, Wolf said. The one thing Wolf was clear on is that the state will not be seeking out those who already own guns. Quote, "We're not going to take their guns away," end quote, Wolf said. Stopping by Stephen Colbert's Late Show on Tuesday, CNN's Anderson Cooper responded to the controversy over showing marijuana smoking on New Year's Eve. Quote, "First of all, it's legal in Colorado. We are grown adults and she did not smoke, obviously," Cooper said of the broadcast. Continuing, "The whole thing surprised me as much as it would anyone else." In Colbert's home state, the Late Show host retorted that it might be his use for medical reasons, saying, quote, "I got some glaucoma coming on hard on vacation just for Christmas vacation," end quote. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, January 4th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And let me be clear about marijuana. It is a potentially dangerous gateway drug that frequently leads to the use of harder drugs.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
People can say no to drugs.
It's really, really easy.
Adding more gasoline to the fire.
Lackadaisical.
Really tough, really big, really great
to infect and rot our nation from within.
Dangerous gateway drugs.
We don't need to be legalizing marijuana.
To build and grow a stronger, healthier, and drug-free society.
What, what, what? In the news.
Day in What in the News, we follow up on Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has rescinded the Cole Memorandum. Now, you know, the Cole Memo was written in 2013 during the Obama administration. It basically laid out eight priorities for prosecutors that said, all right, if you're going to go after state legal marijuana, you're going to go after the ones if they're trafficking to kids, if they're diverting it out of state, if they're helping criminal gangs, if they're using violence, right? It was basically the Obama administration saying, look, as long as you guys behave yourself, we're fine with you moving forward on the marijuana business. Well, that's out the window now. And we're back to U.S. attorneys. And there's some, 92, 93 of these U.S. attorneys all throughout the country, and leaving it up to their discretion whether or not they go after state legal marijuana. Now, to be clear, this doesn't include medical marijuana. There currently exists an appropriations rider called the Rohrabacher Amendment that prevents the federal government, the Department of Justice, from spending any funds, any taxpayer money, to go after state legal medical marijuana. That the fallout of that is this the Kettle Falls 5 case, those convictions being vacated and the charges dropped. So this has a real impact. And even Sessions has admitted that he is bound by that rider. But folks, that rider expires January 19th. Will it be included in continuing resolutions to fund the federal government? We don't know. So as of January 19th, maybe by January 20th, keep in mind that in addition to rescinding the Cole memo, which is getting all the headlines, Mason Tvert made a very good point on Twitter today that this also rescinds the Ogden memo. And that was the one that was pre-Cole memo. It was Ogden memo was the one that said, hey, don't go after medical marijuana states unless they're diverting to kids, and they're sending it out of state and all these other terrible things. And the Wilkinson memo was the one that provided that guidance to the federal or to the federally recognized Indian tribes. So now all the memos protecting medical, Native Americans and state legal marijuana businesses are out the window. And medical's got till the 20th, it looks like, unless that again, they renew the Rohrabacher Amendment. So this is frightening as hell, and it's something that many of us predicted going all the way back to the 2016 election cycle, and I'll hold my thoughts on that until we get to the radical rant. But for now, I wanted to show you some of the response that we're getting in political circles, which is actually giving me some hope. The excellent column Wonk Blog, Christopher Ingraham out there at the Washington Post, has got a column up on what Republicans are saying about Jeff Sessions' war on marijuana and a few of the comments he's received. Cory Gardner, senator from Colorado, Republican, quote, this reported action directly contradicts what Attorney General Sessions told me prior to his confirmation. Pause for a moment. Let me translate that from Washington to American speak. Jeff Sessions lied to me. Jeff Sessions lied to my face. In his confirmation, prior to his confirmation, I asked what he'd do. He told me a lie. That's what Cory Gardner is basically saying there. Can't say the attorney general's a liar when you're a senator, but that's what he just said. Continuing Gardner's quote, with no prior notice to Congress, the Justice Department has trampled on the will of the voters in Colorado and other states. I am prepared to take all steps necessary, including holding DOJ nominees until the attorney general lives up to the commitment he made to me prior to his confirmation. Let me translate that from Washington speak. You're not going to get another judge sat. You're not going to get another Department of Justice, federal agent, official, supervisor, whatever. We are calling a halt to the Department of Justice, or at least Cory Gardner is, Senator Gardner, is calling a halt to passing any Department of Justice nominees until this is resolved. That's great news, folks, because Democrats can complain and wail and moan all they want, but everything's going party line in Washington these days. You need a Republican or two to buck the party line to be able to get any traction on this. There you go. There's one, Senator Cory Gardner. Follow up, Senator Dean Heller of Nevada. He says, quote, knowing Attorney General Sessions' deference to states' rights, I strongly encourage the DOJ to meet with Governor Sandoval and Attorney General Laxalt to discuss the implications of changes to federal marijuana enforcement policy. I also urge the DOJ to work with the congressional delegations from states like Nevada that have legalized marijuana as they review and navigate the new policy. End quote. Two Republican senators. Number three, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. Quote, Over the past year, I have repeatedly discouraged Attorney General Sessions from taking this action and asked that he work with the states and Congress if he feels changes are necessary. Today's announcement is disruptive to state regulatory regimes and regrettable, end quote. And of course, Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, quote, I continue to believe that this is a states' rights issue and the federal government has better things to focus on, end quote. Now, let's take a look at the House side. Mike Kaufman, representative from Colorado, quote, Attorney General Sessions needs to read the Commerce Clause found in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution that limits the power of the federal government to regulate interstate and not intrastate commerce. The decision that was made to legalize marijuana in Colorado was made by the voters of Colorado and only applies within the borders of this state. Colorado had every right to legalize marijuana, and I will do everything I can to protect that right against the power of an overreaching federal government, end quote. Colorado Republican on our side. Matt Gaetz, the Republican from Florida, quote, Dear Jeff Sessions, prosecute Hillary Clinton, not medical marijuana businesses and patients, end quote. Whatever. At least he can say he's on our side on the issue of medical cannabis. Thomas Garrett, Republican from Virginia, quote, My bill, H.R. 1227, would deregulate marijuana policy by removing federal oversight and empowering the 50 states. It has been around for a year now. Congress is trying to do something, end quote. And finally, Dana Rohrabacher, the Republican from California who authored the Rohrabacher memo that protects the medical states, quote, The Attorney General of the United States has just delivered an extravagant holiday gift to the drug cartels. By attacking the will of the American people, who overwhelmingly favor marijuana legalization, Jeff Sessions has shown a preference for allowing all commerce in marijuana to take place in the black market, which will inevitably bring the spike in violence he mistakenly attributes to marijuana itself. He is doing the bidding of an out-of-date law enforcement establishment that wants to wage a perpetual weed war and seize private citizens' property in order to finance its backwards ambitions. End quote. Now, that's just a smattering of the responses that are coming back. And I think there may be a situation here where they may have miscalculated on what the response would be to this. But there's another part of me that thinks, you know what? Donald Trump isn't the president of the United States. Donald Trump is the president of Trumpistan. Donald Trump is the president of his base. He is the president of just enough people in just enough places that can get him the electoral votes to win re-election. So I bring this up because I hear people talking about, oh, well, marijuana is so popular, it's making so much money. I don't think he cares. I think he cares only about himself and only about re-election. 64% national support for marijuana legalization. So what? What's the support in Kentucky or in Alabama or in Oklahoma or Florida or Idaho or Wyoming or any of the number of states he has to put together to win the election? That's all he cares about. So this response from the Republicans is somewhat surprising, and I also would caution us all to take it with a big salt lick, much less a grain of salt, because we've heard the Republicans say all sorts of terrible things about Donald Trump when he goes off about Little Rocket Man, or if he goes off on any number of policies that they've condemned him for, and things he's said, and making fun of a disabled reporter, and the groping allegations. We've heard tons of condemnation from those Republicans. Very rarely do they follow it up with their votes. So for Senator Cory Gardner, Dean Heller, Lisa Murkowski, Rand Paul, love having you on our side. Now let's see some votes. Let's see some votes in the Senate. Let's see you really hamstring these nominations to the federal courts. Let's see you really put your votes where your mouth is in this case. Same for the U.S. representatives in the House. Mike Kaufman of Colorado, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Thomas Garrett of Virginia, Dana Rohrabacher of California. Put your votes where your rhetoric is. That's what we really care about now. It is beyond stunningly astounding to me that the Democratic Party can't full-throatedly get behind marijuana legalization, can't respond to the 64% poll ratings that they're getting, where marijuana in elections is polling and winning elections at greater rates than the candidates on the ballot from either party. This is a golden opportunity, Democrats. It is time for you to strong, full-throatedly, no wink, wink, nudge, nudge, no pot jokes, to fully get behind the biggest growing market in America, something that can help our economy, get jobs to the people who need them, and who knows, maybe you just might win an election in 2018 and we can get rid of this Trump nightmare for good.
I object to all this sex on the television. I keep falling off.
Well, folks, it's 3:20 here in the Pacific Time Zone. Means it's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado, the birthplace of illegal American weed. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. I'm checking up on the chat. I'll take care of that, folks. And when we come back, we've got Marijuana Policy Project on the next states to legalize in 2018. But first, we'll have an anti-drug public service announcement from the Church of Scientology. Stay tuned.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I reject the idea that we're going to be better placed if we have more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
I love that one.
I am so proud.
Hey, Dad.
They said sniffing glue was no big deal. They lied. Find out the truth about drugs. Drugfreeworld.org.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the gay agenda, only with better music.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
This is Marijuana Policy Insider, brought to you by the Marijuana Policy Project at MPP.org. MPP is the nation's largest marijuana policy organization, promoting sensible marijuana policy reform in Congress, in state legislatures, and through state and local ballot initiatives. Today, we take a look at the most recent state and federal reform efforts with the Marijuana Policy Insider.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Marijuana Policy Insider, the podcast of Marijuana Policy Project. I'm Russ Belville, and joining me today, we have Morgan Fox, the communications director for the project. Morgan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And Happy New Year to you. That's our subject for today. 2018 looks to be a banner year for reform of marijuana laws in the United States. Give our listeners some idea just how many states we might have with some sort of marijuana reform in the coming year.
Well, it's difficult to tell how many we're going to have at the end of the year, but this is definitely an issue that has really taken hold. And you know, after the victories in 2016 and then the progress that we've made in 2017, I think that we're really going to see a lot of movement here. Lawmakers are finally starting to really tackle this issue in a serious way. So in 2018, we're expecting to see bills to make marijuana legal for adults and regulated similarly to alcohol introduced or considered in 21 states plus D.C. And then we have 13 states that are going to be looking at decrim bills and another 14 states that are looking at medical marijuana bills. Obviously, there's some overlap there, but I mean, that's, really, really record numbers for the fact that these states haven't even started their sessions yet. We're only 3 days into the year.
That's pretty remarkable. Now, as in years past, we have lots of states that might propose these bills, but then they get caught up in a committee or they don't make it to the floor for one reason or another. So let's take a look, a focus at some of the ones that we feel are most likely. And I'd like to start with the state of Vermont, because it seems to me they're almost, you know, just a signature away at this point.
It's very, very close. The vote in the House in Vermont is expected to pass tomorrow. And this bill already has overwhelming support. This bill would actually just make possession and limited home cultivation legal, but wouldn't address any regulatory issues regarding legal sales or commercial cultivation or processing. So it's basically very similar to what the District of Columbia has right now. So this would prevent adults or 21 and over from being arrested for marijuana possession for under a certain amount, and would allow you to grow a certain amount of plants. Unfortunately, this doesn't really address a lot of the problems with prohibition, but this is a huge step in the right direction. And, as long as people aren't getting arrested for possession of something that's safer than alcohol, I think we can say that that's definitely a good thing. Once that's passed in the House, it looks like it will be quickly concurred with the Senate, and the governor has already said that he plans on signing it. So we're looking at the very real possibility that within the next week or so, Vermont could become the first state to actually pass legalization through its legislature.
That's really amazing news. And this grow and give concept that's been used in Washington, D.C., you can grow some, you can have some, you can give some, but there's no shops in which you can buy some. Has that been leading to problems in Washington, D.C., and are the Vermont legislators looking at that?
Well, I think that a lot of the problem is really just confusion about what the law is, because in the lack of any sort of a regulatory structure, a lot of entrepreneurs have been trying to find out what is going to be tolerated by law enforcement. And so far, it seems as if people that aren't doing too much heavy advertising and aren't moving any serious weight are being ignored or left alone by law enforcement. But people that are flaunting the fact that they're operating a totally unregulated business, or people that are moving large quantities of marijuana to customers, have started to draw their attention, and there have been several arrests in the city related to that. However, I think that the fact that this product is not going to be easy to grow for everybody kind of creates a gap where there's just no supply for the customers. And I know a lot of marijuana consumers want to be able to go to a store during set hours and have a product that they know for a fact is quality control tested and it hasn't been grown in somebody's closet with a ton of pesticides or something along those lines. So the lack of a regulatory structure is kind of bad for the consumer, but at the same time, it allows for a lot of entrepreneurial exploration and innovation on the providing side.
Now, to flip this script a little bit, we have the state of New Jersey, where the incoming governor there, Democrat Phil Murphy, has talked about legalization. And the last I heard about New Jersey is they were going to propose having pot shops, places you could buy cannabis, but not allow people to grow their own at home. What's going on in New Jersey?
That model seems to be pretty popular. I mean, the only state that has instituted it in terms of legal states is in Washington. And I think that there's a lot of effort right now to change that and allow people to cultivate limited amounts of cannabis. And if we're looking at making this equitable to alcohol, you know, microbrewing, you know, small batches of beer is legal in pretty much every state, but setting up a distillery in your basement is not. I think that that's sort of going to be the same kind of paradigm that we have for alcohol, where if you want to grow, you know, small amounts of flowers or make, you know, as small amounts of edibles, you can. But as soon as you try to start selling them, then you start getting into a regulated state. Same thing for any sort of dangerous extraction methods that might use, you know, potentially explosive chemicals. These are things that have to be regulated, and they will be under New Jersey's proposed bills. But we think that it's very important that individual adults be allowed to grow some small amount of cannabis so that they're not forced to take take part in a market that they don't necessarily want to.
Now, those states, New Jersey and Vermont, are looking at passing these proposals through their legislature. The state of Michigan, on the other hand, has some proposals that would go the initiative process, like the current eight states that have legalization. What can you tell us about Michigan?
Well, Michigan has already submitted its petitions, and they're still being counted, but it looks as very likely that a measure to make marijuana legal for adults will be on the ballot in 2018. Very excited about that. I think that that'll be the most populous state that has ever looked at a ballot initiative to legalize marijuana during a non-presidential election year. So it'll be very interesting to see what sort of effects that has on turnout and vice versa when it comes down to actual election day. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see the state try to pass a bill that was sort of similar to the initiative in order to undercut it. But again, that's something that we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I think that the voters, regardless of anything that the legislature does, are going to support the initiative, particularly since the state really didn't get its act together with you know, making sure that the medical system was working right until their feet were held to the fire.
Good point. Now, are there any other states out there, aside from those three, that you think have the strongest possibilities of actually enacting legalization this year?
Well, we're also very optimistic about states like Rhode Island, Delaware, and Connecticut actually passing bills that would make marijuana legal for adults. And we've been working with these state legislatures and with local coalitions of allies for the last couple of years. Saw a lot of progress last year, and I think that we're going to see even more progress this year, if not victories in one or more of those states. And then we have a ballot initiative to legalize medical marijuana in Utah, which is a, you know, shows a lot of public support and is moving in the right direction. So once that gets qualified for the ballot, we're going to see that campaign start moving into full swing pretty soon here.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, talking about the possibility of medical marijuana in places that you would think would never have such a thing, Utah being one of them. And also, I understand Oklahoma is on the ballot, but we just don't know when.
That's correct. They're still trying to determine whether or not that's going to be on an early ballot coming up, I believe, in March or in the November ballot. And I believe that that's just up to the governor.
Governor Mary Fallon in Oklahoma should be announcing that relatively soon. Of course, the other reform that we look forward to is decriminalization in some of those states that are too reticent to start right ahead with medical or legal. We had New Hampshire last year finally join the rest of New England becoming a decriminalized state. Any other states with that on the agenda?
Yeah, it's actually all around the country, really. You know, I think that a big one to watch is Virginia. We've seen that the Virginia governor is supportive of decriminalization as well as medical marijuana, so I expect to see some movement there. And, you know, right now, Virginia of the little Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area has the harshest penalties for marijuana possession while it's legal in the district. So it's kind of tricky because you can just, you know, walk across the street in some places and you are, you know, totally within your legal rights in one and committing a serious misdemeanor in another.
Yeah, it's crazy the patchwork of laws that we're having to endure during this transition from a prohibition nation to a legalized nation. But we know the folks at MPP will be working hard to get them state by state. And for your listeners out there, how can they help out in this endeavor?
Just go to MPP.org and you'll be able to find out how to contact your state and federal lawmakers to help us end prohibition. And, you know, I think that obviously talking to your lawmakers is really very important, but another one is, you know, just contacting like-minded people and really building coalitions. I want 2018 to be the year when people really start putting their differences aside and working together towards reasonable, achievable goals.
And in any of these proposals, do we see anything that's revolutionary aside from with regard to the limits and the ability, like more plants being grown, greater limits? Are those expanding? Are they still staying at the kind of 6 plants 1 ounce level?
That seems to be around the level that these things are working at, where lawmakers and law enforcement seem to be comfortable. One of the things that I really like about the Michigan initiative is that it specifically provides for micro businesses to be able to support, small mom and pop operations that are completely vertically integrated. And you don't see that, explicitly written out in any other state.
Okay, well, we'll keep our eye on that as well. And of course, MPP.org is your source. They've got a page for every state so you can get involved locally, and we need all the help we can get. Morgan Fox is the communications director for Marijuana Policy Project. And Morgan, thanks for joining us again on the Marijuana Policy Insider.
Thanks. Looking forward to the new year.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z, Cannabis Kamikaze.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's not recreational. It can be destructive, and it consistently is destructive.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions has announced he is rescinding the Cole memo, the Obama-era guidance to the U.S. attorneys from the Justice Department that has largely kept federal law enforcement off our backs. And I hate to say it, but I told you so. Told you so a number of times. In fact, it was July 29th, 2016, when I wrote for High Times, "If you like legal marijuana, you must vote for Hillary. Sorry." And in that piece, I wrote, quote, "Consider that a President Trump wouldn't be just on your TV making fantastic speeches, believe me. He'd be appointing the next attorney general, the nation's top cop. In every scenario I can imagine for the future of marijuana legalization, it turns out better under a President Hillary Clinton than under a President Donald Trump." I told you so on August 2nd, 2016, when I wrote,
consider Attorney General Christie and drug czar Sabet. And I noted that even under President Obama, even under the protection of the Cole memo, Assistant U.S. Attorney Earl Hicks prosecuted the Kettle Falls 5 state legal medical marijuana patients growing cannabis in a state where recreational use has been made legal. And then I imagined, how much worse could that get under a Trump presidency? I told you so following the election. On November 15th, 2016, I wrote an article called Weed's Nightmare Trump Scenario. Quote, I listed all of the bad things I thought might happen under a crackdown on marijuana at the federal level to all the cannabis industry people, and I heard from many of them who said, quote, well, Trump is the leader of the free world. He could be a good thing for marijuana. He's a business guy, so he's all for a new big profitable economy. On the campaign trail, he said medical marijuana was fabulous and states should be allowed to pursue legalization, end quote. What do you know? Donald Trump turned out to be a liar. I told you so a week before Trump was sworn in as president. On January 13th, 2017, I wrote, marijuana's imminent Trumpocalypse. This was after we knew we would get pot-hating Jeff Sessions for the attorney general. In that article, I noted all the rationalizations I was hearing from folks in the cannabis industry about how Sessions would have bigger fish to fry, that the marijuana industry is too big, that Trump loves business and money, that the Trump administration won't waste political capital going after something as popular as marijuana, and that, quote, that Trump was, quote, states' rights for marijuana legalization, end quote. I told you so on September 15th, 2017, when I wrote, Sessions Department of Justice wants to crack down on weed, but will they? In that piece, I noted all of the indications that the federal government was preparing for a crackdown, such as the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, deflecting a question about the Cole memo by stating, quote, we are reviewing that policy. We haven't changed it, but we are reviewing it. I think there is some pretty significant evidence that marijuana turns out to be more harmful than a lot of people anticipated, and it's more difficult to regulate than I think was contemplated, ideally, by some of those states, end quote. Reviewing it, well, they've reviewed it. They reviewed it, and they've decided it's out of here. It's in the trash heap. It's in the ash can of history. So, as this latest policy unfolds, if you've thrown all your money and all your energy into creating a brand new state legal cannabis business, only to find a unfriendly U.S. attorney hauling you into court and ruining your life, be ready to know that the first question I will ask you after listening to your story is, did you vote for Hillary Clinton? Elections have consequences. And sure, go ahead and console yourself with your mantras of, oh, Hillary would have started World War III, and what about her emails, and Bernie Sanders was screwed by the DNC, and Gary Johnson this, and Jill Stein that, or voting doesn't matter because the elite Illuminati 1% control everything anyway. But you and I both know that we live in a two-party, winner-take-all American political system. And there was only one way to stop the Trump train on November 8th, 2016, and that was a vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, looking forward, there's still hope. Maybe a direct Republican attack on marijuana is what it'll finally take to get Democrats to represent us and finally take some of you to understand how important the vote is and that it matters. On February 28, 2017, I wrote Civil Cold War, the oncoming state-federal marijuana battle, where I noted that all of the state and federal elected officials in the legal marijuana states are vowing to fight the Trump administration if they should crack down on their cannabis businesses. And earlier today on the show, I read you the quotes from some of them. And I really hope that those elected officials stick to their guns and forcefully attack the Trump administration over this issue. In a sane world, the Democratic National Committee would be whipping up a unanimous and vocal battle to protect legalization that now 20% of the country enjoys and 64% of the country supports. Of course, if Democrats were sane, they wouldn't have nominated the only candidate who could have possibly lost to Donald Trump in the first place, so all bets are off. But one thing is for certain. If you want to protect state legal marijuana and ensure that more states can join us, then you damn well better vote for Democrats in the U.S. Congress on November 6, 2018. You can complain about third parties. You can love the Libertarians. You can love the Greens. Any other election, I might give you some slack. But this country is off the rails. And I'm not just talking about marijuana policy. I'm talking about my gay friends, my black friends, my Muslim friends, my Latino friends, immigrant friends, the economy, the poor, the homeless, the environment is going to hell. And we must stop it. And only Democrats can.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
That's all the time we got today. Thanks for joining us. From everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.